Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 30 of season 2. If you'll allow me a brief social history lecture here, families used to be units of production, as they all pitched in at various communal activities that had to be done for the family to be sustained, whether they be farmers or fishers or gardeners or wagon makers or whatever. Now, it's more likely that families are units of consumption, going to the mall together, eating together, watching movies together, going on vacation together, playing games together, and even that is becoming less common. So, what is lost in this transition? What if you're looking for new ways to be together as a family? Can farming be a route to promote this kind of lifestyle change? Yes, you bet it can. Is it the easiest route to take? Well, you'll have to decide. Today, we meet a couple who have made some big changes in the past few years. It's a bit of a journey from the oil patch to the cabbage patch.
Well, I remember growing up, we'd be at my grandmother's, and it was always a truck coming in from Cormac with farmers selling vegetables, and I was only a wee little boy at the time.
The first year was burning brush and picking rocks with my two daughters. I stood up in the field and I thought, oh no, what do we got ourselves in?
Well, we crawled around on our hands and knees picking rocks. Well, what can I do so I can go home and be home with my family? Half of their life I've been gone.
You still need a job to farm. That's the big thing. You still have to work and then you farm. So it's not just give up everything and you go farming. It's you have to have a job and farm.
Because you still have to support your existing bills and then you're just creating more on top of it.
After the obligatory washroom break at the big stop in Deer Lake, we head up the Viking Trail. Within minutes, the rock and scrub gives way to soil and honest-to-goodness fields. We take one of the first turnoffs. We're visiting with Robbie and Chantel Coles on their farm. It's late October, and they're still in the midst of harvesting the bounty of their lands. We start out the interview admiring their cold storage unit, surrounded by crates of produce. Join us.
We're in Reedville, Newfoundland. We own Rocky River Farms NL. We were awarded the lease in 2018. We put in a small crop. We were waiting on our tractor to come. We really didn't start farming until 2019, I guess, was our first viable year. We put in roughly 12 acres. We've been moving forward ever since. We came here with nothing, and we've established quite a bit in a short period of time.
Well, right now, we're in your cold storage. Is this the second year you've had cold storage?
No, this is our first year.
Okay.
First year, yeah. We established a building in 2019 with the hopes of turning it into a cold storage, and along with agriculture, we made it a reality this year.
How does that change your business that you have cold storage? What does that make possible?
The change is we were taking it to Cormac from here in a friend's storage, which cost overrun started to increase on it. But the real big game changer is obviously food security. I mean, getting it inside, getting it stored, being able to take it to market locally later in the winter when the local stuff has really gone offline unless you have storage. We direct market. We come to the realization, like, we did supply some local grocery stores with early and mid-season this year, but last year we decided to direct market all of our stuff through the use of a one-ton van, and we started bringing it up to Northern Peninsula, where I'm from Daniels Arbor back, North Point, Rocky Arbor, Woody Point, Trout River, and people love it because it's being brought directly to the door.
So you continue to do that even though you've got lots of people coming to your farm market here.
Well, I remember growing up, we'd be at my grandmother's, and it was always a truck coming in from Cormac with farmers selling vegetables, and I was only a wee little boy at the time.
And you dreamt of being that truck.
And then, well, the guy does the same thing with pork as well, and so it's good to see product being brought out locally because, I mean, most everybody grows so much to sustain themselves for a little short period of time, but bringing fresh locally grown vegetables throughout winter season, I think, is important for people to be eating healthy.
So in here, what is it?
14 feet high. That's going to be our cold room with refrigeration. It's 26 feet long, 14 feet high, 11 feet wide. We were looking to establish plastic bins to utilize, but obviously with the crunch time, we had to get into making some ourselves this season.
Got a few pallets there, repurposed.
Just wooden pallets, But I mean, our late season cabbage yield was really good this year.
So this, you said, is about 1 acre's worth, maybe, of cabbage?
A little over an acre,
And it's filling about almost half of a bay here.
If I just put the cabbage in there alone, it would have filled the whole room.
And you've got how many acres of cabbage?
Well, we had 4 acres of cabbage this year. We do have red, purple cabbage to come out yet, late storage stuff. Yep. So I'm going to have to put it in sacks because we turn it into a vegetable storage, but we're going to be at capacity after this season. Yep.
Are you going to build another one of these then?
Well,
well, that's one of the lines in the sand.
I think we have to just, I think right now it's going to be operate at this capacity.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, we got room to store it out here and we'll take on that venture later on in the road, but it restricts us already. I can see the restriction of not being able to grow more food.
Well, this year we had a good yield on crop. Last year wasn't.
The moose took care of my cabbage.
And the moose ate quite a bit.
What other crops do you have? You have some cabbage, you have potatoes.
Well, this year we did just jigs and our vegetables, but we had some purple cabbage. We did put in parsnips this year. We grew in our greenhouse over there, which is 24 by 72. We started all of our transplants in there, and we tried, basically it's a playground. It's something where we're trying different varieties of tomatoes and peppers, and we tried to grow them in there, and I tried the same varieties in the field, and I found 5 really good varieties of tomatoes that I'm going to try to produce in the field next year.
Okay, so you start like 15 or 20, and then you just find the ones that work? Is that what you say, playing?
We had alone this year, we had 3,000 tomato plants.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't all, we were, you know, to start the market, we were selling a few transplants to locals,
and
people were all impressed with the tomato varieties. They're all non-GMO, heritage seed, and they produce really well. So,
what do you find people like? Like, what kind of tomatoes do people want to eat?
Well, we had them right from cherry right up to large tomatoes, but the really good producer only produced, about a 1 ounce tomato. But all the varieties we had yielded really well.
So. I had some customers come back and have a bigger yield on their yellow pear tomatoes than I did.
The transplants they got.
So we had orange pendula, we had yellow pear, we had cherry tomatoes, and we had Sophie's Choice, just all heritage seed. And you can save the seeds from them as well. Every customer that came in, I said, you know, if you get into seed saving, you can. These are heritage varieties that are proven developers. Since COVID-19 come on, all the seed companies were selling everything out the door. And there's a lot of farmers this year had a lot of issues with seed commercially because, you know, our rutabaga we had an issue with. There was supposed to be size seed for my cedar, and our rutabaga was overseeded and underseeded, and it wasn't working right. So I think these seed companies really need to start looking into commercial operators being first and foremost. I mean, I don't know what happened to beets this year. A lot of farmers had issues with beets, and beets usually grow pretty well. I mean, some farmers plowed under 2 acres that it didn't grow.
Really? So is the seed something with
must
seed?
Must be seed, mostly, or it could be a number of factors. You don't know.
Too much rain?
So you're at the mercy of nature.
And the seed company.
Yeah.
We head out of the cold storage through a part of the yard where Robbie is building his own crates for the vegetables out of juniper and black spruce. Using his portable sawmill, he can make 3 an hour, as long as interviewers don't bother him. We head into the greenhouse next.
And this is our greenhouse building. The plan is with this building is to put a second floor in and put a grow room up there.
Yeah. So you've got a whole area here that's sort of, you're going to have a prep area and all kinds
of... Yeah, we'll bag in the big building, but this here, going to try to finish this next year. The plan is to put a second floor in, spray foam this one, finish it, and then I can use this. I'm putting the garage door here, and I can use this as an overflow for potatoes.
Beautiful. It's beautiful when it's growing and it's clean.
Oh, yeah.
So right now it's
beautiful.
Not full.
This is
ideal.
A fairly good size.
Yeah,
24 by 72.
Yeah, 12 feet high. But I put 2 beds in. We grew tomatoes in there. We do all of our own transplants. I mean, the transplant program is wonderful, but sometimes they don't have everything that you're looking for. So we did all of our own cabbage this year, except for the purple.
When we start in April, we normally build like little tents, like little domes for
tents
germination.
Like.
To be like this here runs down, and we have
a heat
tubing that comes down.
Yeah.
So we'll run plastic over
the
tables, which keeps it warm,
yeah.
and then a little tent over the top.
Yeah.
We'll just start the real early stuff.
Peppers and tomatoes.
Yeah. So what temperature would it be outside versus inside, like at that time, April 1?
At nighttime, I could, with the furnace going, I could maintain 14, 15 degrees.
Really? So that's several climatic zones south.
Well, I got a temperature gauge down here. Yeah. I mean, it's probably... I mean, we're averaging about 8 degrees in the difference from outside to inside.
Oh, yeah.
So 16 degrees here is probably more like 7, 8.
7 or 8 out there, it was,
We spend a lot of time at potato because we don't have a sizer and it chews up a lot of our time, so I do have a bagger bought this year.
Yeah.
And we basically every potato passes her either my hand or her hand.
It's her hand. Okay. So that's a lot of like time consuming work. And how many bags of potatoes? What's the potato harvest like this year?
I think we had close to 1,000 sacks.
I asked Chantel and Robert about a music choice to use for this show. A few ideas came up based on our conversations, like I Will Survive, the Gloria Gaynor anthem, but in the end they chose this very appropriate piece of music, one that reflects their own philosophy as farmers. Their song Don't Stop Believing, as suggested by our guests today. We're at Rocky River Farms in Reedville, talking with Chantel and Robbie Coles. I start out this section by asking them about their own farming and gardening backgrounds.
Did you grow up in the Northern Peninsula?
No, I grew up in Kippens.
I'm from Parsons Pond originally. I grew up in a fishing community, and my grandmother was the big inspiration. We always had a family garden, 40 by 80.
40 by 80, that's a decent size.
Well, for a home garden, but I mean, we always grew our own. I worked on some farms in Manitoba when I was out there doing my pilot's license as well. Some big equipment, more like wheat production, like harvesting and livestock handling. But it was interesting flying over all that at the age of 17, 18.
And Kippens has a lot of agriculture around there too.
My dad's family farmed for themselves, more for family. They got 60 acres in Colebrook, which they all own. There's 13 of them. We all live on the same street. Everybody's related. At the end of the road was our farm that we've had till now, still. And we grew up with horses and cows and chickens. So I definitely had an insight to it.
So both of you came from pretty close to the oceans. It must be nicer to farm here in Reedville. You don't have the salt spray on your crop.
Well, here especially, like, we can get on the ground here on average 2 weeks earlier than Cormac.
Yeah. Which is just, 10 kilometers?
Yeah. Their soil's a bit...
Well, there's a bit more clay and there's some ground up there, but...
Oh, okay.
We, on average, is about 2 weeks earlier, believe it or not.
You referred to that thing, soil, so you've actually got soil here in Reedville. So is it a clay loam?
Sandy loam.
Yeah.
Well, the previous owner here, he grew strawberries here. I think that's all he grew, and they grew cattle corn here. They leased it. Some dairy farmers leased it, but they say it's supposed to be some of the best soil on the island, but there's a lot of good soil around. I mean, there's a lot of people doing great things in agriculture, I do believe. I think it's room to do many more things in it.
What point did you realize that this would be part of your life? When did you sort of take the jump?
When we were in Calgary working on the oil rigs, I wanted to move home. Yeah. I was looking for a home in Cormac. We wanted to live in a country setting. And then we ended up moving to Cormac, and I started looking for some land and looking around a few times. I talked to agriculture. When I was in Calgary, I was looking to see what industry I could work in so I could move back here. I was in oil and gas offshore for 12 years, and I was saying, well, what can I do so I can go home and be home with my family? Because I've been gone a lifetime from them. Yeah. Half of their life I've been gone. Yeah. One of my mentors in Cormac, when I went in, he owns a small modest farm up there. He was big time into it. One time I met him and we started going up there more often and helping him out, and I called up again for a piece of land. I was looking for something more along the lines of 20 acres, something I could turn into a hobby farm for retirement. And then I said, well, why don't I try to do something where I can get home with my family a lot sooner. So I applied, I phoned up looking for land, and I was said, well, why don't you apply for this piece of land and put your name in? And yeah. I did, and we got it. So.
Started with a backyard firm. The backyard firm's gone now. And now we're here.
That was sort of the gateway drug.
Well, I mean, we both grew up doing it. Yeah. My wife was around at Chantel, and I grew up with my grandmother. She still does it to this day. She's 82. Yeah.
82.
She was in at her brother's hunting camps cooking for the guys in the camp. She came home and dug all of her potatoes.
Oh, no.
She's 82.
Yeah. It's a lot of hard work, but it is rewarding. You got to enjoy the simplicity of it, but
the chaos,
the chaos with it too.
The chaos, yeah.
Like you can't control things, and we're calmed down a lot over the last couple of years.
Well, those first few years, I'm sure there's a lot of
uncertainty.
We started with nothing. Yeah. We now have a cold storage. We got a big greenhouse with potential for a grow room and overflow for more vegetables. We put up a market here at the farm so we could operate here. Yep. I mean, all this happened. That building went up in 2019. The greenhouse went up in 2020. And then I put that market up this summer, and then I finished the interior of that building this summer, or this fall. Yeah. So everything, I said, if we're going to do it, we need to make it efficient to be able to do it, because we're not sitting on 5 acres, we're sitting on 72.
72 acres. And you've got how much under cultivation right now?
I mowed down what was naturally in hay this year, but with my tractor breaking down a month ago, I thought I'd have everything ready for planting next year, but we had roughly 15 acres in, and obviously you can't control breakdowns, but that set us behind on getting everything ready for next season.
If somebody's listening and they're thinking, boy, I think I would like to do this, what would your advice be? Do you have any suggestions about if you were to start it again?
They'd better have a good chunk of change in their bank account.
I see. That first paycheck takes a while to come.
I haven't got one yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm just turning it back into the farm, But I mean, you do need some money to start. I mean, it's for anybody to think that they're just going to go and get money from agriculture. There is help, but you need some funding yourself to get, if you want to be viable and efficient. Like, efficiency comes with time.
You still need a job to farm. So that's the big thing.
Farm.
You still have to work, and then you farm. So it's not just give up everything and you go farming. It's you have to have a job and farm.
Yeah, especially establishment, right? We've been trying to establish this and establish it very quickly.
So you have to have some income to support your farming.
Yeah. Because you still have to support your existing bills, and then you're just creating more on top of it. Yeah.
This is sounding a little depressing.
No, I don't know.
You're doing it. Okay.
There is help out there. We've gotten help. I'll admit that. But I mean,
and if you've got the right people around you to encourage you guide you, it makes a world of a difference. Like our friend that we met, and he's become like part family with us, and he knows the industry, because you do have your low days. Yeah. Like any business, you have your low days. Yeah. But then for someone there to encourage you on, it do really make you feel a lot
but
better.
I mean suggestion would be, you know, don't give up. If you want to do it, just strive for your best and do your best you can, and find out what didn't work and what worked, and just keep moving forward. You can't just drop it because this didn't work or that didn't work.
The first year was burning brush and picking rocks with my two daughters, and I stood up in the field and I thought, oh no, what do we got ourselves in?
Well, we crawled around on our hands and knees picking rocks.
I used to say, close your eyes and pretend you're on a beach.
Yeah. I mean, with food security this day and age, I mean, it's only going to get worse. And to make it better, you just need people to be looking into getting into it. Yep. And I think the help is there to do it. You've really got to be willing to keep going and going and going and not give up.
I think they could do something better for, like, distributing. Helping new farmers, distributing to marketplaces.
So here in this area, like, if you drive up the road, there's, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 places where you at this time of year you could stop and get, but everybody's still selling. It's not a problem.
There's things that I don't have.
Sure.
So I'll send them. I'll give them a list of everybody up the road, and then they might like your carrots and my cabbage.
Right. It's just Is there a crop you've got that you're starting to get a bit of an edge against everybody else, where they say, "Oh, I like those cabbages from
the carrots I grew this year. I did something different to try them out. Our carrots did size up really well, and they're some of the best carrots we've grown. And cabbage, I've got down pat pretty good now, but I mean, that's forever changing. One season from the next, it could be different. But I've had a comment that's like, you grow me cabbages and I'll grow you carrots. But that's collaboration.
Yeah, I mean,
people got to work together.
Yeah,
I think think farmers really need to work together.
And I think it needs to be okay to say, you know what, I didn't have such a good yield on this crop, and this other farmer, they've got a lovely crop that we're going to bring in.
Right now our main crop is just the jigs dinner vegetables, and we're looking at future production in fruit. We do grow some strawberries, but we've had a bit of down with strawberries. Hopefully this turns out a little bit different.
Is this any you pick?
Hopefully, please. That's all.
It survives the winter.
If they survive the winter and the yield, I've got it all pre-sold.
Ask him who's going to pick these berries.
In your spare time.
I'm getting the youth.
We've collaborated with a friend of mine in St. Anthony. Yep. We went to flying school with Dark Tickle. Yep. So they want them all for ice cream.
Excellent. Well, that's right. They're new ice cream. It's a great, it's a great product.
They have a fantastic product.
They do. Yeah.
And then it's locally made from scratch. Hopefully they yield and we just need to pick them. But like you say, you're at the mercy of a lot of things with farming. And like I said, it's just never give up. Keep moving forward. That's the only way you're going to make it.
Are you going to keep doing the truck up the Northern Peninsula?
Yep.
That brings some joy to you, it sounds like, as well.
Yeah. Well, I went to Trout River last year. I ran and I found out I had 15 relatives that I never knew I had. I grew up there. I was in Rocky River, North Point a lot growing up, and people love it. They're waiting for us to come. They've been messaging me for a month. I made a couple stops in there just to move a little bit of product early in the season, and they love it. I mean, it's brought straight to the door. They come out, and they're just nonstop with messages wondering when we're coming again.
What's changed there from when you were growing up and there were more gardens? Have you seen that sort of go into decline? And is
big decline.
Big decline.
Yeah, everywhere. People became too dependent on supermarkets and stores.
Yeah.
I mean, I think now, in light of COVID-19, I think it's really brought people back to where their food was coming from.
And the simple joys, like as riding bikes. You couldn't buy a bike last year, right? Like everybody simple things.
Working hard to get my feel. Everybody wants a thrill. Playing anything to roll the dice just one more time. Some will win, some will lose. Some are going to sing the blues. What the movie never ends. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers waiting. Up and down the boulevard. Their shadows searching in the night. Street lights, people.
By request of my guests, that was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Today we're visiting with Robbie and Chantel Coles at their farm in Reedville. It's late October, and I suspect that we are keeping them from the many tasks ahead of them. I start out this last section of our conversation by asking about pricing and distribution and sales.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling.
Again, we get back to this supply chain management of things. There's a lot of things to do with pricing. I mean, alone this year I had two supermarkets and one wholesaler. There was three different prices in their cabbage for wholesale at 50-pound bags.
Yeah.
And there was, between the highest and lowest, there's $20.
Oh.
So that's a big issue, I'm fine. That's why we chose a direct market, because they want it for nothing. They're trying to do a price drop right now.
Right now, because they're
getting it cheaper from off the island. So, I mean, everything that comes on this island costs more.
It does, and we don't really pay for that sometimes.
Yeah.
We should,
And, I mean, vegetables, it's the same as fishing. I grew up in a fishing community. Yeah. What they get for round fish right now is what they were getting back in the 80s, and it's sort of the same thing as vegetables. I mean, fertilizer costs are going up. Everything's going up. Inflation is going through the roof. Eventually, the prices of food is going to go up. Yeah. How do people afford to eat?
Yeah.
And how do you not put your prices up because it costs more to produce it?
Do you ever get people from Plum Point and Flowers Cove saying, why aren't you coming up here?
Yeah, it's a lot. It was hard to do. I mean, it was only two of us last year, but we'd bag all week long just so I could go on those three-day trips. And then we'd start it all over again on Monday morning. People want us to come further. You start looking at the cost overrun, the time. When I go, I start at Daniels Harbor at 9 a.m. and I don't get home until 9 p.m. because I try to get 2 or 3 hours in each place.
And we do it all by hand, so there's no machinery.
Yeah, there's no graders. We are the graders. Raiders.
Yeah, we are the Raiders.
What's your favorite local food?
If you're having somebody from away that you wanted to impress who wanted to give you a tractor, what would you feed them?
I've served up a lot of different Newfoundland dishes before, but we like our jigs dinner.
Jigs dinner.
And greens. We don't grow greens, but I would have greens.
Yeah. Greens.
We had greens come over from Terra Nova Farms for our market. It's something we're not interested in growing, but we did have a few come over.
We have Sunday dinner, don't matter what day of the week it is, but we have it once a week.
Other than that, the next thing will be lobster.
Yes. That's a favorite.
Recently, there was some announcement. Was it the CNA has some land in this area?
Yeah.
That they put
just
over there?
Back the road a kilometer on the main highway. Yeah. And they're basically coming in to do basically all their forestry students. There is some land to clear back there, and there's some already cleared. I guess their agricultural technicians are going to come over there and try out different things, and the forestry students will get to go in and clear the land with some of the equipment, and they'll learn about all the clearing and enhancement side of things as they're doing it. Probably make viable farmers for future, right?
Clearing land is a lot of issues there that in terms of get that soil into productivity. Are there some things you hope that they study that would have helped you when you were clearing?
I mean, you get down to the basics of you got to get everything off the ground and get the rocks off it, and you're forever picking rocks. They like to grow like potatoes almost, but hopefully they'll what they develop and from trial and error over there they can bring to the table. But there's a lot of local resources of existing farmers where you can find out about trial and error issues.
Yes.
You know, that's the great thing.
But
if I have any issues,
CNA,
I just go.
So they'll have everything at their fingertips for them. So it'll be a great experience and an eye-opener for them.
We just went out and started getting what we needed this year. We went about a plow, a sprayer. You know, we were still behind on some equipment. And we went by used equipment because I could just buy it outright and eliminate a payment and just maintain it. But
it's really expensive.
I don't think people quite understand that.
The only thing we don't have here now is a rock picker and a lime spreader, which is available through the program, and for the price of them, you only need them probably once or twice a year. But yeah, new land, obviously, I come to realize rutabaga likes new ground every year, so we've had some new ground cleared, so if I put it all in rutabaga next year, I probably fill up the one room with rutabaga next year.
Yeah. Do you have to change every year?
Rotate
every year so you can come back in a few years then.
Usually I think it's on a piece if you're planting, if you say every 5 years you rotate. Every year you rotate, but you rotate out in four to five and go to a new piece.
This is great to be here. You have such a lovely facility, and I'm glad you take a bit of time. If you weren't standing here talking to me, what would you be doing?
Well, after all that rain, we were probably pulling carrots. I want to build a carrot lifter for next year.
So are you pull it, you mean like physically
pulling
your hands,
pulling
them by hand?
We got 2.5 acres to pull yet. We'll get it.
Do you have to dig? Are they in there? Like
you can just pull them.
Okay, so it's not, if you had more clay,
There's a few efficiencies that I need to increase if we're going to be doing it 15 acres. There's a few pieces I need to make or buy to make it more efficient and easier on the workers.
Mm-hmm. And we got good workers. Yeah. We couldn't do none of this without them.
Yeah. How many people do you employ?
Two right now.
And are they local? They have experience in agriculture?
One young man I've had he's come here, I don't think he had much previous experience, but I've had him for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's interested. He comes every day. He's on time. And he likes it. He's said it's the best place he's ever worked for the atmosphere, I guess. And
we
are.
Yeah. Fresh air.
And like I tell him, I don't expect you to go out there and kill yourself. We just need to keep at a steady pace. And
Is there anything you miss about the oil fields?
The money. No, I really enjoyed my job.
Yeah.
I must say it was a career job. And I really did like my last position. And it's something I worked towards to be able to come home. And it put me in the offshore oil and gas industry. Obviously, money isn't everything in my eyes. It's
and it made the money to start this.
Yeah,
that's right.
If I didn't
have that
job, we wouldn't be so far ahead.
So we put a little bit of our savings into this.
Yeah,
and a lot of heart.
And a lot of heart.
You got to be determined.
And our daughters are getting older, and we thought, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We just thought this will keep us occupied.
Our daughters are grade 10 and 12, and the one says, no, I'm not coming to the farm.
She didn't sign up for it.
I didn't sign up for it.
That's okay. I told her she could be in the
market. That's fine.
But now my oldest, she'll come out and she can work just as hard as we. She enjoys it. She likes the atmosphere.
We're only just getting started. It's always something they can come back to. They'll always have somewhere to go.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And all the best.
A couple of times, after talking about the trials of starting a farm, Chantel would say, "But see how we are still smiling?" Precious indeed. After the recorder was turned off, we went out to those carrot fields that were waiting to be harvested, all 2.5 acres of them, and they were some of the finest carrots I've seen in a good while. Chantel and Robbie picked a few handfuls and wouldn't let us leave without them.
Hard work, but it is rewarding. You got to enjoy the simplicity of it, but the chaos with it too.
They say it's supposed to be some of the best soil on the island, but there's a lot of good soil around. I mean, there's a lot of people doing great things in agriculture, I do believe. I think it's room to do many great more things in it.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The music for today's show was the pop rock classic Don't Stop Believing by the band Journey. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Andy Eversole. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
Forever picking rocks. They like to grow like potatoes almost. But
so we put a little bit of our savings into this.
Yeah.
And a lot of heart.
And a lot of heart. Yeah. Don't stop believing.